Every time these days I pick up the Bible, I cannot believe. It's not I can't believe. I'm overwhelmed by the words of God, by just what he's given us here and what he says to us. So I want to jump into Hebrews 11:17. We're only going to look at one verse of scripture. I'll read maybe two more, but we're only going to look at one. So, Father, we thank you, O God, for our time in your presence, not only the brief worship time, but just every moment of every day where we're aware of your indwelling Holy Spirit, O God, as your spirit within us causes us to cry, Abba, Father. We are so thankful that you called us as daughters and sons of heaven. You've called us into the fellowship of your Son, Jesus. And so as we come to your word now, Holy Spirit, would you help us to hear? Would you open up our heart? Would you cause us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church? Would you breathe life to that which may be faltering and is a little lame? Lord, would you cause, oh God, any darkness, Lord, to be dispelled and overwhelmed by your light? Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 11. We went up to verse 16 last week. And I wanted to deal with verse 17 in particular. It reads, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. If I had to title this message, I would title it, The Test of Faith. The Test of Faith. Some of you will remember this. We still hear it. It was instituted back in 1963 in the Kennedy administration. But every now and again, you'll be watching a show or driving down the road and you hear this. This is a test of the emergency broadcasting system. You know, and this funky sound comes on. If this were an actual emergency, important information would have come to you, so forth and so forth. And so President Kennedy's administration instituted this so that the president, if he needed to, come and address the nation, get everyone's attention and address the nation. Well, they since then expanded that to both state and local emergencies, and so not only nationally but state and locally, you would get weather, you know, hazardous weather and so forth. We get them on our cell phones now. You're sitting in church and this weird sound goes off and everyone's looking at their phone. Well, that is a test of the emergency broadcasting system, and I just thought how I just want to deal with this word here, speaking about Abraham, when it said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, when he was tested. It didn't say if he was tested. It said when he was tested. Now, beloved, if Abraham was tested, come on, help me finish it. If Abraham was tested, we are going to be tested. Amen. Anyone ever find themselves in a test? Amen. I mean, and sometimes you're being tested and you don't know you're being tested. Sometimes you just live in your life. That's the way it was with Abraham. Now, we know Abraham was tested because the Bible tells us. But Abraham didn't know he was being tested. And he went through the greatest test that anyone could ever go through. Tests the likes of which we would never see. Because on the one hand, Abraham had a promise from God. Let me read into it a little bit. It says here, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So, on the one hand, Abraham had a promise from God, but on the other hand, Abraham had a commandment from God. It's a very interesting passage of scripture to put you into. Here, God tells Abraham, I promise you that your seed, from your seed, are going to come the multitudes. If you can count the stars, so shall thy seed be. And on the other hand, God says, take this son now, and take him up on this mountain I'm going to show you, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Now, it seems to me, right about now, that you have a conflict with the promise of God and the commandment of God. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Abraham was in quite a test, quite a situation. And as I read this, I looked at this, I said, oh my goodness. See, because Isaac was the promised child, and in Isaac all the promises had their genesis. I mean, they had all their origin in Isaac. Ishmael's not even in the picture. So Abraham chose to believe that God would keep his promise, though he didn't know how, and he obeyed the commandment. So we can learn something here real quick. When the promise and the commandment are in conflict, go with the commandment. When the promise and the commandment are in conflict, go with the commandment. Why? Because obedience to the commandment directly affects the promise. Yeah? You hear what I'm saying? Come on, because see, God can come to you and say, oh, I'm gonna put myself, just share a story that I've shared many times before and show you how this works. How I've seen it in my own life. Years ago, 1989, in April of 1999, I started working with Kim Drive. I said to myself, I'll work here a year, then I'm going to go get another job because, you know, cleaning carpet. Who wants to clean carpet? So I said that was going on in my spirit, in my heart. And so that was April of 1989. Around about June, September, something like that, I had a prophetic dream. In this dream, I saw hoses running out of my basement, old house in Vienna, my mother's house. Saw hoses running out of my basement, running all over the place. Woke up, prophetic interpretation was, you will own a Kendra. Now remember now, I had it in my mind that I'm going to be here a year and I'm gone. That's the way this 20-some-year-old boy, this follower of Jesus, that's what I was thinking. God comes in and says, no. Here's a promise. You will own your own Kim Drive franchise. I took that, put it on the shelf, because the boss at the time, when I came to work for him, he was a Christian. He said, give me 1 year. Because he couldn't get people to give him a few months. They would work a few months and then quit. I know what he went through. And he said, give me 1 year. I gave him eight. 1989, I started working for him. In 1994, he started doing some things that were unethical. Okay? He's a Christian, but he was doing some things that weren't right. And it was affecting me. And so what he wasn't doing right caused me actually at one point to tell a lie. And when I told that lie, the Holy Spirit checked me. You ever had the Holy Spirit get, now listen, he's already in you, which means he's in your stuff. You ever had the Holy Ghost get in your stuff? Listen, he's already in your face. You know what I'm saying? He's in you. So he's in my face. He's and that thing. And I felt, you ever felt the of God? Yeah, that they won't let you alone. You know, you sit there, you can't live with that. You see? And so I went to my boss. Now, here's what began to happen. I had a promise. But I knew this was coming. You're going to have to quit. Why? Because I can't lie to cover you. So on the one hand, I had a promise. On the other hand, I had a commandment. Now, I had to make a choice. Abraham had to make a choice. So I remember walking into the office that I'm now, my office. I remember walking in and saying to this guy, and I was his number one tech. I said, here's my 2-week notice. He looked up at me. He says, are you crazy? What are you doing? I said, man, I can't do this. I can't do it. So I got to quit. And so I quit. And that was June of 1994, and I sat on my sofa for 3 months. You know how it is? Man, let me tell you something. You know, sitting on your sofa, you know, trying to, I don't know what to do, praying, get up, read your Bible, praying. And for 3 months, and after 3 months, the manager called me because all my customers were calling and saying, we want Pat to clean. We want Pat to clean. And they sent one tech to a lady in D.C., and she said, are you Pat? He says, no. She said, go home. She said, go home, because I only left Pat in my place. And she wasn't even home. She left a key at the front desk and had the concierge say, are you Pat? If you're not Pat, go home. Send her home. Why? Because the Lord was making a way for me. You understand how that works? God was making a way. Okay. So there's favor and blessing and all that. So the manager calls back in September, 3 months later, and says, would you please come back to work? I says, do I have to do what you know I got a problem with going on there? She says, you won't have to do that. I said, all right. I'm on my way. That was 1994. In 1996, the owner, he had moved away. He in 1996, so it was a year and a half later, he came and says, I want to sell the business. And he sold it to me. Now, I said that to say that I had to choose the commandment, even though I had a promise. But if I hadn't chosen to go with the commandment, I believe I would have lost the promise. So Abraham had a choice here. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So, if we ever, if the promise and the commandment come into conflict, go with the commandment. Leave the fulfillment up to God. Why? Because if your promise dies, God can resurrect it. That's what Abraham believed. We just read it. He said, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. Abraham said, God, I'm going to obey you. You told me to slay my son, and if I slay him, I believe you can resurrect my promise, because you made the promise. I didn't make the promise. You made the promise. And so as you live your life, tests will come. I'm telling you, tests will come. God help us to make the right choice. Well, how do you know something works? You got something. How do you know if it works? You test it, right? How do you know if something you have is authentic? You test it. Well, God has come to us and he's given us something. It's called faith. How do you know if your faith is real? How do you know if it works? Well, you put it to the test. And so here we are, James chapter 1, we all know, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or times of testing, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, when we read that scripture, we know, I mean, none of us likes trials, but Paul said this. He said, you ought to joy in testing. You ought to be jumping loops, cartwheels, and everything. Why? Because the testing of your faith produces patience. I remember Mary just said, for those of you who were here last week, I said this on the message was titled The Patience of Faith. And I said this, you cannot talk about faith without talking about patience. Because the moment God promises you something, you're going to have to wait for it. So you cannot talk about faith without talking about patience. So while I'm standing here listening at Mary testify, she says, we submitted the package on July 1, huh? And you're supposed to hear something back. Maybe it was April or whatever it was. July 1 maybe is when they let you know something. You're supposed to hear back, but we didn't hear anything. And July 20 came, and we didn't hear anything. You can hear her patience and the whole thing being tried, because she said, God, what are you doing now? Come on. I don't understand. We're doing everything. See, we all go through that. That was a test right there. She just showed us one. And she said, and then July 25th came, and nothing happened. Why? Because, see, your faith is being tested. Now, listen, I always say this in case I mess this up. I have to give you something just in case I preach so bad you miss it. But I want you to understand something, that the faith is tested. He said that the testing of your faith, realize this, that it produces patience. In other words, church, it's not enough to have faith. Paul said, we count them happy who endure, and through who through faith and patience inherit the promises. who through faith and patience. Remember, Jesus said, when the seed falls upon on this shallow ground, the person receives it with joy for a moment. But as soon as persecution arises, they're going to throw off the faith and they're gone. No. Faith and patience. Faith and endurance. So that when Jesus comes, see, what he's doing is he's giving us faith. But when he returns or when we go to be with him, will we still have that? Faith is what he's interested in. See? And so the test comes. The test comes to try the sort and to purify the faith, rather, that we have. Recently, I went to the dentist. Huh? When you got somebody digging around in your mouth, you want to make sure that they have had training. You don't only want them to have had training, but you want them to have been tested. Amen. And after they test, you want to make sure that, did you pass the test? Hello, because this is my mouth. And this thing will keep me up all night long if you don't get it right. I want to know, have you been tested? And the doctor, you know, she had all these things after her name, so I took it that she was, you know, understood what she was doing. And so God tests our faith. Why? In order for the faith to be authentic, it must last. Huh? It's not enough to believe for a moment. In order for faith to be authentic, it must last. It must endure. Jesus said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. He didn't give us faith to have just for a wish, just for a moment, here today and gone tomorrow. No, faith must last. Right? All right. Now, does God allow testing in our lives? Thank you. Yes, he does. Okay. Does God, now this is a different question. First of all, does God allow testing? We know from the book of Job that he allows it. Right? Different question. Does God test us himself? Not with evil. He won't test us with evil, but God does test us. John 6:6, we'll get to that verse, but I'll mention it real quick. Jesus sees the multitude coming to him at the Passover, and he turned to Philip, and he said, Philip, he said, how are we going to feed these people? And then it says this. It says, he asked Philip that, but he knew what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to do, right? God does test. He does not tempt us with evil, but he does test. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. Oh, look at this, because, you know, this next question is, are we tested concerning provision? Mary's testimony has answered that for us. Thank God. Thank you, Mary. That was just so timely. Yeah, that was beautiful. Beautiful. But are we tested concerning provision? A resounding yes. Listen at Exodus 16:4-5. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them. Huh? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? I am the Lord God. I change not. If he tested folk in the Old Testament, I believe there's some testing going on in the New Testament. We'll get to that in a second. But he says, I'm going to rain bread, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And so, interesting. Okay, so here the people, the children of Israel in the wilderness. Acts chapter 7 calls the children of Israel in the wilderness the church in the wilderness. God's people in the wilderness. So when we look at Israel in the wilderness, we're looking at a picture of the church. Okay, so here the children of Israel, they have no means to feed themselves. But God says, when you get up and you go out every morning, there's going to be bread laying all around the camp so that you can get what you need. But this is the interesting thing to me. He said this. He says, the people shall go out and gather a certain quota. Now, here's the test. There's all this bread laying out there. And God says, oh, Lord, get hold of Jesus. Where's me? Give me stuff. Okay, here we go. Okay, God says, there's all this bread out there. And God says, I want you to go out, and I want you to get that much, a certain quota. I want you to get a certain quota. There's a problem with that, because here comes the test. All of this bread, but somebody goes out with a truck. He said, this is how much I want you to get. But bro here is so scared and fearful that he goes out and he gets a truck and he fills the truck up with all of his bread. God says, I'm testing you. Did he pass the test? He didn't pass the test. But so on the other hand, so you got on one hand, sometimes people are motivated by fear. Some people don't go, they go out, or some people won't even get up and go out. They're lazy. Okay? So God says to us, every day you get up and go to work, you get up, you go out into the field, I have your quota out there. But you got to get up and go to work. And when you go to work, I'm going to fill your quota. Right? Sometimes people are motivated by greed. We want more than our fair share. And you know what happened. You know the story. If you took too much and left it the next day, it bred worms. It spoiled. It turned to worms. Okay? God says, I've provided enough for you today. Jesus addressed it when he taught the disciples to pray. He said this, give us this day our weekly bread. Did he say weekly? No, monthly bread. No. He said, give us our daily bread. In other words, God has supplied it today's bread today. The problem comes in when we try and get the year's worth of bread. Pastor, have you heard what the Powerball is at? Oh, my goodness. I got to hit that. I got to get my tickets. I got to get my numbers. Now, I ain't never had anybody come to me in this church and talk like that. Because I'd have popped you upside your head. No. But you better believe that people have done that. What are they trying to do? Trying to get a lifetime's worth of bread in one day. And if you did that, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 says, to give me the food allotted for me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, because if you give me too much, I may forget you, Lord. I may forget you. But if you give me too little, I may steal and take my Father's name in vain. So give me the food allotted for me. There's a test in that all by itself. He gave Mary what's allotted, just what his baby girl needed. Yeah. Okay, so you know, we have to keep from gathering too much, gathering too little. Will we trust God on the Sabbath when there is no bread? You know, sometimes there's nothing coming in. Will we still trust Him? Honey, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to trust God. Will we obey God? I believe that if we obey God, we will have everything we need to do His will. But make no mistake, as Abraham was tested, so we will be tested. Another passage of Scripture, one of my favorites, is Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. It says this, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you. In other words, they were in a 40-year test. We complain about a 3-hour test. They were in a 40-year test. He said, to humble and to test you. And this was the purpose of the test, to know what was in your heart. You know, a lot of testing in the Old Testament, that was the purpose that God had, was to know what was in your heart. You said, but God already knows what's in us. Yes, he does. But when he tests us, then physically it's borne out. What is in the heart is revealed in the heart, okay? So he said to them that I'm going to, that I took you through all that time so that I might test what was in your heart. The same thing was revealed in Abraham's test. It revealed that Abraham trusted God on a level, beloved, that we just don't find. I mean, you just, you know, of course, God's not asking people to do that today, but Abraham, God allowed him to step into a level of faith that just boggles the mind. So, also, I wanted to read, let's see. There's so much going on here. Glory. You're all good. Here, before I forget. Yeah. All right. Now, getting back to business. All right. I just want to read this passage of Scripture to encourage us. Where was it? Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 2. Down and further in the chapter. I'm going to start in verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flock multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water out of the rock, out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. That he might humble you and test you. Why does God test us? To do us good. To do us good. I believe that's why James could say, my brethren, count it all joy. So now Mary didn't know it at the moment, but when she was going through that test, what God was doing through that test has done her faith good. Mary believes now like she did not believe before. Why? Because when God brought her through that test, she can stand up and say, I saw God do something. I saw God. We prayed. I mean, she can stand and testify and tell other students that I saw God do this for me. And so he did her good. And so, you know, when we can look at that and say, well, you know, God wants to give me, you know, yes, God wants to do us good, but sometimes the good he wants to do is internal. Much of the time, as us believers, through faith in Jesus Christ, he wants to encourage our faith so that we do not lose heart. Amen? God tests us to do us good. All right, got a few more minutes here. Judges chapter 3 and verse 4. What was going on here is that the you know, God was clearing out, Joshua was clearing out the land, and they were taking over tribes, lands. But the Bible says that God left some of the tribes, some of these peoples, in Perizzites, Girgashites, Jebusites, so forth, Canaanites. Verse Judges 3:4 says, and they were left that he might test Israel by them, to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So God commanded the children of Israel to fight and not mix with other cultures. But he left some of those cultures just so that he could test the children of Israel. Man, I read that, I said, oh my Lord, for real? Wait a second. Yo, Hold on, now, I'm not saying this applies to you, and I'm not saying this is what this is teaching, but the thoughts of my mind came this way to me. Could it be that some of the enticements that this life presents have been left here to see if my heart would lead the Lord? Could it be? That if our hearts run after something, after what he is doing, okay? Not only that, I believe that some of those are left so that you can see that when God works in your heart, those things have no longer any enticement or any effect. And for that, you give God praise and glory because you know you didn't do it. You know he did it. And the test, some tests are allowed just to show you what God has brought you to, what God has done in you. Amen? I'm telling you what, I recognize this. I recognize it. Now, I'm not going to get through all of this today. I believe I'm right at, am I at 4 o'clock? I'm right at it. Talk to me, church. All right. Okay. I'm gonna do two more, and then that's it. All right, here we go. Judges, you remember Judges chapter 7, that's Gideon now. Remember, Gideon has this army that he's gotten together. He had 32,000, 33,000, whittled it down to 10,000. And then God said, you know how God is. He said, you know, you still have too many people. So Gideon goes, oh my goodness, to go to war, and Gideon going, too many people, how is this? Okay, but listen at this, listen to what God says. The Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many, bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Bring them down to the water. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go with you. And so God now presents a test. I heard one of my favorite speakers, Ravi Zacharias, talking, ministering on this passage of Scripture. And you know what happened was that some, you know, put their heads to the water to drink. Others brought water up to their head and drank. And this is what Ravi said, I'll never forget. He said, whatever meets your need and whatever refreshes you without you compromising your mission is acceptable. In other words, as soldiers, they were to stay alert, okay? And you do not take your eyes off of your surroundings to refresh yourself. But those who brought the water to their mouth and who still had their wits about them and could survey the land, those were the ones chosen to go with Gideon. So the application is this. Whatever in our life refreshes us but doesn't call us away from what God has called us to, that's allowable. That is acceptable. And I thought that was a good application to this passage of Scripture. All right. One other is 2 Chronicles, another one of those favorites. The whole Bible is a favorite. But you, when you look at this, you'd be surprised at how many times God tested his people. This one is the test of Hezekiah. And boy, is this where every time I read this, it just because you put yourself in their shoes. You know the story. Hezekiah is going to die. Isaiah comes to him, says, put your house in order, for you're going to die. Isaiah cries out to the Lord. The Lord gives him 15 more years. God tells Isaiah, go in, take a lump of apricots, put it on the boil, and Hezekiah is healed. Hezekiah asks for a sign. And Isaiah told him, the Lord was to give you a sign, and he said, let the sundial of Ahaz go backwards 10 degrees. It goes back 10 degrees. God keeps his word. The king of Babylon hears about this great sign that happened in Israel. Did the sundial indeed go back 10 degrees? Because if the sundial went back 10 degrees, you know what happened. God turned back time. It wasn't just no gadget that we were playing with. God turned back time. Because all the sundial was a stone that had a shadow passing on it. And that's, okay? So if God turned it back, that means he stopped the sun from going across the sky. And he actually turned it back. And so that is indeed what happened. But listen at verse 31. It says, however, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him. That's the thing that, you know, the Bible says God left Samson. It just makes you shake when you think. He left Samson, but God withdrew from him in order to test him. My God. Lord, I said to myself, Lord, if you withdraw from me, I'm definitely going to fail a test. Lord, help this boy. Help this boy. So he withdrew from him in order to test him for this purpose, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, here's the test. You know the story. When the ambassadors came to Hezekiah, the Bible says this. He didn't talk about the sundial. Hezekiah said, come on into my treasuries. Come on in. Showed him all the gold and all the silver. Not only that, showed him all his land. Showed him everyone. Now, Isaiah came in and said, who are these men, ambassadors from Babylon? What'd you show them? He said, oh, I showed them everything. Did you indeed? Yeah, I showed him all my land, showed him all my riches, showed him everything. And Isaiah said, he said, that's interesting. He said, one day, the king of Babylon and all the people, they're going to come out, they're going to take all that you showed them, plus your wives, your children, they're going to take everything. Now, it's not going to happen in your day, but it's going to happen to a king of Israel, where they're going to come in and they're going to take everything. Now, what was the test? The test, in my view, as we look at the scripture, was this. The ambassadors came because of the sundial, the wonder. But Hezekiah didn't talk to them about this great wonder that God had done. Hezekiah didn't talk to them about God. Hezekiah didn't talk to them about the wonders, the miracles that God had done. Hezekiah talked about himself, and he talked about all of his riches. And beloved, that test that came to Hezekiah, I am persuaded that that test comes to you and I too. Because, you know, you know, when we, it's so easy, but we thank God for all that we have. We thank God for all that we have. But beloved, when we come together, you know, especially someone who doesn't know the Lord, do you know what they need to hear? You know, The new house, that's great, but that house ain't going to save them. The house ain't going to help them. They need to hear about the glories of God. They need to hear about his wonders and his miracles. In other words, Hezekiah diverted the attention away from God and onto himself. Diverted the attention away from God's, the riches of his miracles and wonders and grace and onto his temporal riches. And what a sad state. But God did that in order to test him. It didn't mean that God didn't love him. God did love him. But this is a picture, I believe, I know for me, this is a picture that without God, we would do the same thing. Without God, I would do the same thing. Talk about me and what I got versus God and who he is and what he does. So God allows the test. And I wonder, you know, after God said that, after Isaiah prophesied to Hezekiah, Hezekiah said this. He said, well, you know, he said, it's good that this is not going to happen in my days. After Isaiah got done prophesying, even that was a little, for real, Hezekiah? To your grandchildren, this could be happening too, but you glad that, yeah, I'm glad it could be happening in my days. I'm going to be dead and gone. Woo! You know, and that's just like, it just shows that the heart, we know Jeremiah said that the heart is is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, right? That's the heart. And God tested Hezekiah's heart. But in our passage that we're looking at, it just shows you the type of man Abraham was when, by faith, when he was tested. He passed the test. He offered up Isaac. Astounding. It's astounding that Abraham went through. He raised his arm with the, he was going to kill the promise. He was going to kill his son. What faith? What faith? Amen. I'm going to stop there because I'm not through, but we'll finish this next week. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that the testing of our faith produces endurance and patience so that we can make it through the long haul, so that we will not give up, and we will not lose hope. Thank you, O God, that your testing comes in our lives not to undo us, but to strengthen and mature us, but to cause us to overcome. Your tests come into our lives, Lord, to show us your strength in us and through us, your faith being ignited, Lord, and matured in us. And so I pray, Father, that when we are tested, Lord, would we, like Abraham, would offer up. Father, we would make the right decision, the right choice, oh God. Father, that we would choose the commandment over the promise, because the promise is yours to fulfill. The commandment is ours to keep, oh my God. Lord, we thank you, oh God, that every test that you allow into our lives is to do us good. And so we count it all joy. Every test, every obstacle, every problem. Father, we count it all joy because we know that you're working good on our behalf. Bless and strengthen each one of your people, we pray. Touch this food, bless it, and nourish it, that it would nourish and strengthen our bodies, we ask, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you real good. Off to fellowship and Puerto Rican hot dogs.